morning, good afternoon, and good day to our Dad Time Out Show listeners around the world. Welcome to the Dad Time Out Show. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Hey.
What? We're here.
All right, you guys are already around the corner, and they are just four dads with 12 kids between them that they know about, and we all, oddly enough, work in the entertainment industry. We're not parenting experts, but we listen to them. We interview them. We read what they have to say, and we report back to you, our listeners, and we check in with ourselves to see how we're doing. It's a place to put your feet up or down, relax, listen, and let us do the legwork, research, and reading. All articles, interviews, and show notes are now available, drumroll, at www.dadtimeoutshow.com.
Our new website.
Cool. After each show, we are very interactive with our listeners, so if you could follow us, like us, subscribe, or leave a review, we would be forever grateful. And please follow us on the Instagram, which where we are most active, just cracking the 2,000 follower mark. All right, we're going to do a lot tonight. We got a lot going on in tonight's show. We're going to talk about the dad's autumnal Halloween action. We'll catch up with all that. We'll take on funny parent tweets of the week and then smart articles by smart people. The dads will discuss a few articles focusing on the scientific importance of family traditions, both holiday and non, plus a few suggestions for firing some up. And according to our release date, it should be just in time for the holidays. Finally, they'll wrap up with a quick quiz from the Encyclopedia Britannica on Thanksgiving. And then finally, they'll wrap up with things that make them smile. Speaking of things that make me smile, what's your name, sir?
Hi, my name is Landon.
I am sorry to pull you from the confines of your cave to come out to this gorgeous California night. Would you please indulge us with the dad joke to kick off the show, an annual tradition?
What do you call a turkey the day after Thanksgiving?
What do you call a turkey the day after Thanksgiving? Mark, do you know?
No clue.
Lucky.
I like that one.
Lucky. Giving you a little laugh track on top of that. All right, Landon, we'll head in the house. We'll be kicking off the show next. Coming up next, the Dad Timeout Show.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, here we are back with the Dad Timeout Show. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey.
Okay.
Sorry, I took a second there. I was a little discombobulated. I have, as you could see, the T-Swizzle hoodie on tonight, the coveted
T-Swizzle
hoodie. And we were listening to her. My daughter was listening to her in the backyard, and I don't want to get the copyright infringement just yet.
No.
But I almost think, like, we could, and then make the news.
Oh,
and
that there's no bad...
We calculated.
I don't think they're going to come after us.
You don't think they're going to come after us?
Just hit that 2,000 mark,
All right, well, all four dads are in the house tonight. Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers. Cheers. The 2,000, the price of one Taylor Swift ticket.
I will make this fast and short because I didn't even know if I'd have a voice today.
You're sounding in good voice today, though.
Yeah, well, we had a pretty big outing on Sunday, and then we rolled into cold air and Halloween night and all the good stuff that comes along with that, but I kind of threw my voice out, but it wasn't my back, it wasn't my hip,
wasn't my knee,
so I will be a little raspy tonight, but I think we will survive because first we were afraid, we were petrified, we kept thinking we can never live without Chris by my side.
That's right.
But we survived. So
I like the rasp. It's kind of
you like the rasp.
He was froggy. He was froggy Halloween.
Halloween.
He was super froggy.
All right. Well, we can kind of round out that. By the time we release this, we'll be on the cusp of Thanksgiving. But I saw Mark out on Halloween night. Oh, yeah. We were texting Ben, hilarious from the front yard, pranking people. How many candy bars did you get rid of?
Dude, we had 4,000 pieces passed out in our front yard.
It's insane.
It's madness. Yeah,
crazy. And So Mark and I go to a similar neighborhood. It's insane over there. And the one guy that's like the king of the neighborhood, I think he did a little over 1,800. So I can't imagine, unless there's a little constant embellishment going on.
No, no.
We brought 5,000 pieces, and we're left with about 1,000.
I sent around in the text, that was a legit photo
was
from
it?
Someone's house in Alameda.
Oh,
it's a line down
so
the street.
Great.
It's just crazy candy, guys.
I had one trick-or-treater at my house.
Oh, buddy. And you're the
really?
You're the best Halloween
But
person.
You know what's great is that my house was actually decorated enough to draw one child all the way up there. So that it was nice.
I'm going to make the trick.
Only nice. One trick-or-treater, Mark?
Yes.
I'm
I know.
You
it's a
boo-hoo. You should take over.
I've realized that once my youngest is done trick-or-treating, I'm just going to, like, make my house this big, giant beacon, and people will come because they like
Batman.
To see things.
You should have
exactly.
given that kid, like a medal or something, like, you know?
No, right. Like here's all the candy. Gauntlet. Here's yeah. all the candy.
That would have been clever, actually, like the one kid waddles up. Cause
all the way up, sweating.
Kids waddle. And he hits the buzzer, and then all of a sudden, like,
confetti
ribbons
cannons.
Drop, balloons
yeah.
come out.
My mother-in-law said that he was actually, out, you know? he was smaller than my 8-year-old. He was a very small child, she said. I'm like, wow,
he hadn't
that's
learned.
Epic. So
yeah,
anyway.
that juice isn't worth the squeeze.
Well, Halloween was definitely fun. Yeah. Oddly, I don't like the holiday, really, but it's grown on me. And oddly, as the kids are even older, like you think it's, I would have loved it when they were 2 and 3 and 5 and running around in hamburger and strawberry. And but now I'm actually enjoying it more. I don't know why.
It's a good time.
Yeah. All right. Well, other big news. I got a pair of yoga shorts. So that was my.
Oh, geez. Lord.
Yeah.
Visual.
I was going to wear them out here tonight,
please.
But I went with the little Jordan Jumpman.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got yoga shorts.
We need more cloth between us.
Concurrently,
yeah. Uh-oh.
Concurrently, because this is where I always talk about my favorite things, Oprah released her favorite things yesterday, I believe. Her and Gail had their list.
You were excited about that.
So excited.
He was so excited, wasn't he?
How do you know this?
Excited. So excited.
Is there a side text string?
No, it was on the...
No, I put it on the main one.
Yeah. I know you guys talk crap.
I hadn't clicked on it. I'm saving that for the weekend when I can be in a bubble bath with, like, you know,
let me give you a little heads up about
champagne.
Oprah's favorite things. It's a lesson. A lesson I learned years ago.
Please.
Now, I tend to, during the holidays, you know, you have a lot of gift ideas, and you try to think of it far enough out, and you try to be clever and creative and personal. I get all that part. But when you haven't done that, and you're scrambling on the 20 or the 21,
go to Oprah.
And you go to Oprah's favorite things, and there's 100 things that probably might work in some form. But I'll tell you, a lot of them sell out. A lot of the big Oprah.
Anything
she endorses. Measure that endorsement, yeah.
Yeah.
I guarantee she doesn't make the list.
Are they all like crazy Oprah billionaire things?
No,
or things
not
that we
at
could
all.
Get, like,
Oprah's one of us, guys.
Oh, yeah. So like heel brush, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Nail files.
Nail file, yeah.
Tea, you know.
High-end shoe trees.
But here's the thing. I think we should devote our next episode to our favorite things.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We'll go, like, top three from each of you. Mark, they have
list.
To be under, like, $500.
Fancy Mark.
What?
Mark would be like, well, I just got this chimay from Peru, and it was handcrafted with my wife's initials. And
so not me.
And I had to pick it up at the port and drive it in, and we cooked this barbacoa that was just to die for.
That sounds pretty good to me right now. Actually, that sounds great.
You guys let MK talk. This is it's funny. I decided
that's
not
true.
To interrupt.
It's funny because it's true. Don't you have like a big samovar or something?
No.
Hey, Dr. Kent? That was a good one. It's funny because it's true. So we'll definitely do that. Yeah, because I'm a sucker for those things. So my friend Susan, I'll just name drop.
Susan.
She married an SNLer, and she's kind of cool, and I've known her for a while. Anyway, she does her favorite things. And I just caught it on Instagram the other day, and I'll be damned if I didn't buy two of her favorite like five things.
Well, I'm not
surprised. Now, when I say buy, it was like $12 linen spray and, you know, whatever. But
I think lists are cool. I think it's neat to see what
I
people
do
are
too,
into.
Mark.
Like, I'm with you, man. Trust me, lists are great. And would you send me your friend's list? Because I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
Capitalism lists.
I give her her...
No, No, just
I'll give you her gram. Her Instagram. Speaking of Instagram, let me see. There's some news on the Instagram.
What, our gram? What?
2001?
No, I think we're past 2001, woo, boys. We are at 2003.
Okay. Oh, wait.
That's a change from yesterday where I stalked it, and we were at 2007.
Oh.
Who are the four that kicked us out overnight? No, right. They must not have enjoyed our stuff. Well, we always want to thank the people that have interacted recently on ours. Justin Copeland, Andy McCall, one of my favorite guys ever, Dad's Worldwide Podcast, PG-ish Parenting, Rockstar Aaron, Rob, who does Check Kids at the Door, which is incredibly funny, Michelle Icard, Jake and Joe, Company of Dads, Jill Johnson, Patty, man, the list goes on and on and on. Girl Dad Nation, Halls in Hollywood, the Jason Green, Mom 2 Summit, OKS Mom Podcast. Okay, sorry. If you didn't write all those down, sorry. You just hit rewind. all right, well, coming up next Tweets of the Week, we'll keep this on track and on schedule as we are on this oddly balmy California night. Coming up next, Tweets of the Week.
Time now for the Tweets of the Week. Tweet.
All right, it's time for Tweets of the Week. How do we feel? I get into this every week. Like, are they tweets anymore? Does it matter?
Yeah, just say it. Everybody's still saying tweets.
Yeah, they're tweets. Tweets. They're not
this
X's.
Guy X'd.
And I, like, I don't necessarily care about the politics of the leader of the free world up there at X, but because I could do whatever. But the comedy on there is pretty good still, and I find the funny because that's what I do. I get paid by millions to find the funny.
Yes.
Well, these are all going to suck tonight, too, but watch. Well, since this will be coming out in the Thanksgiving-ish week, I decided to devote a little to shopping and Black Friday. So these are tweets that are semi about shopping, semi about Black Friday. Maybe not. All right, tweet number one. And just if you can relate, comment. If you can't, we'll move fast. If you're going Black Friday shopping, be a decent human being and turn your phone horizontally before you record the fights.
Because nobody, everybody wants a landscape. You want to have a landscape
of
fight.
Of course.
Nowadays, I think it's all portrait. Come on, give it the times, oldies.
It's all messed up, man.
You can still zoom
I'll never
in.
Be behind that.
I like the landscape because it gives you the bigger.
Sure.
Yeah, it does give you a bigger crazy.
And in 1080p, it's like.
All right, I can relate to this. Oh, that was from Sad and Useless Humor. This is from Jenny Johnson. High five. I'd rather let a redheaded kid sneeze in my mouth than go shopping on Black Friday.
Wow.
That's mean. That's mean. You know, what, you think the redheaded kids out there are going to be offended?
My wife's redheaded. Souls and stuff.
I think that's funny.
Isn't that the thing?
I don't get mean. Offended.
Ben, the point of it.
I don't think I get it.
She doesn't like Black Friday.
She doesn't like going shopping
like
on Black Friday. Right. She could have. All right, we'll insert the politically correct. I'd
I
rather let a short-haired dog sneeze in my mouth than now short-haired dogs are offended.
Dude, listen, let's correct this right now. I don't believe in being offended. Go ahead.
All right. This was comes from Rex Hupke. Rex Hupke. Just trampled a family of six to get a 50% off coupon for something I don't need.
Yeah, buddy.
No regrets.
Oh, my.
That's geez. Rather harsh, Rex.
Dude, that's mean.
No
that,
doubt.
That offends me, Ben.
I'm so offended.
You.
All right. This is from at Prairie Dog and Justin. Okay. On my way to the mall to get the best parking space, I'm going to sit in my car with the reverse lights on for a few hours. Black Friday. But when I read this today, I thought of the three of you and how you park.
Oh, at your house?
No, in general, in life. Like when you go to, well, Ben, you probably ride your bike. Let's be clear.
Except when I block your driveway every time.
Well, that's okay. So how do you do it? Do you and your wife argue like there's a spot? Why are you parking so far away? Why are you parking so close?
I'm one of those polites. Like I'll be waiting for a spot, and if someone comes and does the blinker or cuts me off or takes it, I'll just
I will go.
All right.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
You know, I'm not
I laugh at the people
honk.
Who wait 10 minutes to go 15 feet further.
Yeah.
Like, there's a spot right there. I'll park it. I'll park like way two rows over or two rows further and walk past the idiot who's sitting there waiting for the.
My wife is a honker though. Like she is like one of those.
Oh no!
I'm like, oh gosh, don't do that.
My wife's a honker too.
I have to kind of. Oh yeah, right. I feel like I have to duck down or hide. I'm embarrassed.
Me too.
Passenger seat, but
I'd park as far away as possible just to be able to get out of my car and get going. Like, what does it matter?
I'm with you, Mark.
At the end of the day,
Mark and I agreed.
I can walk faster than you can park, buddy.
Gosh,
Well, I don't know if you guys have noticed this over the years, but I'm a little calorically challenged.
Jeez, no.
So I like walking farther, or I do pride myself on trying to find the hidden spot, the one that people didn't think of. Like around the corner, or like I'm really good at this mall over here in Pleasant. I know exactly where people don't go.
I actually
go.
Have my own hidden spots.
Yeah, I got my whole system over there. And I'm like, oh, look, nobody's here as usual. Because everybody parks in this generic, like, cattle flow one. Yeah.
MKA I got Life you. Is just one big game for you. It's so nice.
It has to be.
It must be so fun.
It has to be.
You
gotta game it, man.
You have
always
so much
gaming.
Fun with stuff, dude.
Yeah, we get out there.
Dude, seriously. Always gaming.
I'm jealous.
Always gaming.
Got to tell you for real. But yes, we have to calm our wives down. And I rarely throw my wife under the bus.
She's about to hear
I
this.
I don't think in 3 years I've ever said anything, but she does honk at people.
Yeah, you know.
And I, you know, I don't want to have to get out and throw hands.
I'm so not
she's
gonna.
At this stage in the game.
I can't throw hands, man.
I can't either.
I'm scared.
Nor do I want to ever.
Do you get your hands back after you throw them, or are they just thrown?
I don't know. I saw it in a movie.
Okay. Just checking.
If you this is from Alex Lauren. If you spend 9 minutes of your life, if you spend 9 minutes of your time trying to save a dollar, you're working for less than minimum wage. Just saying.
It's the principles.
I understand
it's
that
the
one
principles. Else. So I'm a believer in this that you the mindset of savings, regardless of if it's even 50 cents, that you know. It's being
it's a mindset. Time is money. Your time is extremely valuable.
Sure.
You shouldn't like drive 50 miles to get a dollar off of
gas.
Something. Totally, man. I'm just saying. I focus on that.
I'm not
going
to say any more names, but there's someone in my family that will go further to buy cheaper gas.
Your only other adult.
No, don't do it.
Hey, it's fun. It's like you said. It's a game in the system. It's
there
a
is
game.
A game, but there comes a point where you have to weigh the option.
Yes.
Well, Costco, for instance, is a dollar per gallon cheaper right now, so it's $25 difference. To
so if you there if you go, double it with a shopping trip, then boom, you're successful.
Right. Yeah. This is from your Lucky Clover 7. Oh, I kind of agree with this one. I want Black Friday to be televised just like the Hunger Games.
Oh, yes. I would pay-per-view that, you know,
ew,
to see like
no,
the
no,
Walmart
yuck.
In
there's a reason.
Bill Walton. Let's tune in.
Well, oh, and then here's the rebuttal. It's from Steve Kohler 22. Do people who get up at 4 a.m. to shop on Black Friday know about Amazon?
Ooh, touche.
See, I think it's the sport. Again, it's like
it is
it's
sport.
The sport of it.
I used to work retail.
Yeah.
And I was there for
I
those
see people
those
in the videos.
Things.
They're all like stretching before the doors open and they got the headbands
but
on.
But the doorbuster stuff was always like the worst stuff. And you'd sit there selling these horrible things to people and you'd tell them.
But
I would tell them, do you realize if you spent $10 more, you could get something so much better? And they'd be like, no, I want this. $29.99. I'm like,
$200
cool.
Flat screen TV.
Cool, man.
Enjoy I just realized something about the vertical video shooting. All TVs are horizontal, aren't they? For a reason. So when TVs start being vertical, then I won't complain about vertical videos.
That was my
videos.
Point is that we don't
are we going
watch
back to that?
TV anymore.
Just,
everyone watches
said it,
these things on our phone 90% of the time. So are you going to turn? Exactly. That's my point. Anyway.
Wow.
Next okay.
Just to remind our listeners, this is a parenting podcast.
Deep
thought. We will get back there in one more round of the turn. This is from, okay, I agree with this one. 1, 2, 3, Hopester. There should be an observation desk at Walmart with a bar. Imagine the stuff you'd see.
See? Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty. I feel like, too, there are also, because we'll get into traditions, nice segue. There are families that get together and they enjoy the camp out and they enjoy the electricity of Black Friday and running in and getting what they can get and
trampling people.
Not I, said the wolf. I'm usually sound asleep, but Hey, I'm not knocking it. If it's your cup of tea, more power to
I'm
you.
I'm knocking it. It's embarrassing.
These were just not in Canada. In Canada, at our Black Friday sales, we fight to see who gets to hold the door open for the others.
Oh, they're so awesome. Polite. Yes. So polite.
All right, well, we'll end there on that note. And that was Parent Tweets of the Week. They weren't ours, but they were pretty good. All right, coming up next, smart articles by smart people. We got a bunch of them talking about traditions, both holiday and non.
Smart articles by smart people.
All right, when I did the search on this one, this is smart articles for smart people or by smart people. Well, both. Our listeners are smart. I usually will start off with a couple subjects, and then I put in news to see if, like, there's any current articles on the subjects that we may be discussing online or something's piquing our interest or whatever. But when I put this in, it was just family traditions beneficial. I mean, the whole bevy of both current and non-current articles. Come on. And I used to remember, I really got into this because I have a good friend that has been on the show. And she is, I'm going to butcher it, but I think she's a family therapist. I've had her on the show. I just can't remember because a while ago. But she was always, to me, and both on her social media, she always stresses the importance of traditions in her family. And how, like, when certain kids come home, they'll cook a certain thing or what their holiday traditions are. But she always says through all her writings how that through line of regular traditions really can help glue a family together. I always kind of think of that in the back of my head with my family when we do kind of wacky ones like Italian Mondays all the way through like going to cut our Christmas tree down. We try to always build those in. So it's nice when you see it validated through many articles. I pulled these. They're rather old, actually, but I thought it didn't really matter. They're kind of evergreen. They're from the Art of Manliness. The first one I pulled was creating a positive family culture, the importance of establishing family traditions. And then, you know, it kind of goes on and talks about what is tradition, and it can be a variety of things. It doesn't really necessarily always have to be stringing popcorn and putting it on the Christmas tree. Traditions are behaviors and actions that you engage in again and again, regular rituals that you perform at the same time or in the same way. Traditions can be big or small, but they differ from routines and habits that are done with specific purpose in mind and require, this is what I thought was good, thought and intentionality. Meg Cox, the author of the book New Family Traditions, defines family ritual as any activity you purposely repeat together as a family that includes heightened attentiveness and something extra that lifts it above the ordinary ruts. Traditions, when done right, lend a certain magic, spirit, and texture to everyday lives. What do you think about that? Have you guys, other than like holiday-ish stuff, is there certain things? And we can just glaze upon it because it's a pretty long article and we'll get back to it. But we can go around the table, like point or whatever you want to do. Chris?
Yeah. I mean, for me too, I think it was just a natural nostalgic thing for me to kind of uphold the family traditions that I did as when I was a kid. And also being Asian American, there was a lot of like Korean American traditions that were just like Korean New Year and then the 100 day celebration after a child is born and all these, you know, sort of weird ones that were just part
of
my upbringing.
They're going to live. Let's give them a name now.
And so, you know, with my, yeah, exactly. Was that one, like, the 100 day they're going to live celebration. And so these things I've carried over with my kids. And so it's definitely been, I think the article mentions like part of our identity as, like, you know, Korean or Asian Americans, mm-hmm. that, you know, that this is something that's special and differentiates us from everyone else. And it's our own family identity and something that kind of, again, like, brings us closer together.
Oh, for sure. I mean, even this article out of the gate, it's like to celebrate our family's Mexican heritage. On Christmas Eve, we would eat tamales, enchiladas, sopapillas, and pozole. both my brother Larry and I devoured everything on the menu, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, that's the exact same thing for me was, like, the Korean version of the article, because he was like, oh, we choked down some of this gross pozole that they didn't like. But that's the same. We have this, like, New Year's, like, rice cake soup that I hate. But every New Year's, we have to go to all of our relative's house, and that's the only thing on the menu is this like good luck rice soup. And by the time you're at dinner, you're just like, oh god, the bloating, my gluten intolerance, or whatever's kicking in. You know, it's really bland. You know, so anyway, so that's no.
I had some when I was a kid, and then they kind of dissolved over time. And then we're kind of like a pot of a family out here in California. A lot of my family's on the East Coast, but within the house, we try to bring all that stuff in. We had funny ones when I grew up. Like, we used to do egg fights. You ever do egg fights?
No.
Around Easter.
Those are so expensive.
So you get hard-boiled. No, you get hard-boiled eggs.
Hard-boiled.
And you put them in a big thing. Families probably have a million ideas like this. But, like, I just brought to mind today when I was thinking about it, how funny it was. And you clink your eggs. Oh, this is your Instagram made me think of it. You clink your hard-boiled eggs, and whoever shell cracks has to eat the egg.
Oh.
But my one uncle always had this angle that he would just go around and crush everybody. But as a kid, you're like, he's not going to get me again. You'd literally end up eating like a half dozen eggs by like 11 in the morning.
I thought you were throwing the eggs.
No, hard-boiled.
It's like a family version of beer pong.
Anyway, it brought back this really funny memory today. So it does show that it resonates even if you don't necessarily continue moving them on. Mark, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, family traditions are huge, and whether it's, you know, Halloween, Christmas, New Year's, we're always, you know, when you get married, you sort of blend the different traditions you have, which actually doubles the possibility of having fun. And you know, I liked the part of the article that actually kind of gives the kids surety in terms of, like, what to expect. It helps them build their traditions, and you're kind of a part of a community when you're celebrating these things together, whether it's with just your immediate family or whether you've got your extended family around. So, you know, we have a lot of things that we do, whether it's, you know, holiday related or just not, that's, you know, I think it teaches the kids different things. And we celebrate, you know, Mardi Gras and Cinco de Mayo, and just if there's a reason to celebrate, we try and celebrate and have a tradition around it. So now my kids are, you know, used to having, you know, Irish food on St. Patrick's Day, and we try and celebrate each, you know, if there's something on the calendar that can be celebrated, we put nice. Some effort into trying to
that
hoop it
cool,
up.
Actually, because they have like those good ones, like Donut Day, and so it's like
I'm not really like, you know, but sometimes if you see the National Pizza Day, sometimes it's like, you know, hey, let's pick up a za and be like, you know, all about
well,
it.
Well, I mean, yeah, well, you could certainly focus on the holidays and special days and things like that, but I did like the other article, which I may or may not have shared. It gives you dozens of examples of like things that kind of are tradition without you thinking they're a tradition. Like family meal is, you know, a big deal. Same countless way. Studies have been shown a positive influence at sharing a meal together as a family. We've discussed this ad nauseum on other shows. Family prayer, what we learned together today. Like little things, like I don't do it as much now, but every day after school I would take my kids driving in the hills. And for 15 minutes, we would solely talk about, like, their life, their days, sweet. Before we got home to the house and dove right into the
drive,
work. Or
just
the,
to drive.
Yeah, even, like, one of the things we do on this list, we kind of call a family hug. And wherever you are in the house, you got to come in for the family hug, so they all come
awesome.
Running in.
We used to do that, and it fell out. I'm going to see if they still do it at, you know, 14. Family hug! They're going to be like, what?
See, you should do it when you're going to see her at UCLA.
Yeah.
And, like walk down the hall.
And all the kids run out of the.
All the kids run out of the. Yeah. I want a hug.
You might gain some children.
No, but my point was, like, you know, traditions come in many forms, and I think, you know, here's some other just bullet points on it. Psychologically and scientifically, it strengthens the family bond. Researchers have consistently found that families engaged in frequent traditions report stronger connections. I do agree with this too. It offers comfort and security. Rituals are the antidote to the harried feeling that comes in our fast-paced and ever-changing world. And it's comforting to have a few constants in your life. Like, I know, yeah, it's very common, but we do Taco Tuesdays. And we really do look forward to it now. And we always do a different joint, or we'll make them at home, but it's always there. And it's kind of like a nice little, especially when you work on the weekend like I do these days. We have Italian Mondays, which I always look forward to because I love Italian food. And then Taco Tuesdays. And then Wednesday we get back to normal. But my point is, it's become a thing in the house. And, of course, I get stupid, and I put the Chef Boyardee hat on Italian Mondays, and Italian dinner music on the radio in the kitchen.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
What a great way to start the week.
Good.
You know what I mean?
It's like $4.99 on Amazon, you get a Chef Boyardee hat. I want to see pictures of you all.
It's crazy.
But and then to Mark's statements, it adds to the rhythm and seasonality of life. Our world and universe are composed of cycles, big and small, sunrise and sunset, death and rebirth, winter, spring, summer, and fall. Circular conception of time and desire to follow the natural rhythm. Man, this is written for you. Follow the natural rhythm of the days and seasons is embedded deep within us, but is flattened out in a modern age, creates its own timetable. In the Middle Ages, peasants had 150 days of year for rest, feasts, holidays.
Wow.
Their life was hard, but the cycles of work and celebration followed that steady rhythm.
Jeez.
So that was really good. Ben, I see you've been simmering over there.
Well, I have so much to say on that one.
Wait, let me get the edit button ready.
I'll say nothing because there's too much to say. But, yeah, I love the fact that there's four seasons. I think it's very intentional. It's fun because I'm sure I've said this in the past, but, like, every 3 months we get a new season for our whole lives. So, and it's been three other seasons since that one. So we're always ready for it. Every 3 months we get this little gift from God. It's really cool. And it's always fun for me. Every season change is fun. And 3 months is just enough. So that's it on that. But I also was thinking about the kids I know that had a rougher upbringing. They still can kind of like glean a couple tradition. If you talk about, you know, like some of the guys I've hung out with that grown up that had a crappy home, they still talk about traditions. Like they hang on to those little nuggets, those memories. So it's like they punch through. That's why traditions are so huge, is like it's just like this like grappling for like security and home and safety. So whether you had a good upbringing or a rougher one or one that cared, you know, and it's the same reason that like blood's thicker than water, right? So like even if you don't like your brother when you become adults, you'd still go to battle with him because that's the you grew up in that same house where there were people that cared enough to raise you. Like there's so many kids in this world that no one cared enough to raise them. That's awful, right? And but like you grew up in that home and you have that bond, like yeah, you go to war with your brother because you know you're like yeah, we were in this place where we had a mom or a dad or both or whatever situation you had people that cared enough to raise you, and that's more binding than anything, and that's all tied to these moments together, right? These repeatable moments.
Like a band dropping knowledge.
Dropping. Feeling that one, dude. I like it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of comfort in those traditions, and we talked about on the last episode about nostalgia, and after that show, I was thinking about that a lot as I watched Halloween stuff with my kids and trick-or-treated with them and just did different things, and so that warmth and comfort of the traditions I grew up with, passing them on to my kids, gives them that sense of belonging, that sense of where I you know, where do I belong? I'm part of this family. I belong here. This is
we watch Halloween.
And they want to recreate it.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. And then you see your kids take that on into their own.
The source of tradition is care. You had parents that cared.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think kids hold on to it. And that's why people want to pass it on. Because like you said, sense of belonging, people cared about me.
Yeah. That's very true.
Well, I mean, too, I mean, a lot of, it doesn't take money for a lot of these either. You know, just very simple stuff. As I scroll through this, like, list of 60 of them, some of them are a little cray-cray. But, like, you know, simple stuff like family movie nights. So on Saturday mornings, well, they don't do it much anymore because out of respect, I let them sleep in. But we used to always wake up to watch College Game Day, and Lee Corso would put the mascot head on, and the kids would always pick which animal it was going to be, and that was kind of fun. We just talked about that the other day because we just happened to – but now they all have activity, so that one's shot. But
Cal Poly on ESPN2 every Saturday morning?
Cal Poly is, I think they San Luis, what do we call them last week?
San Luis Nabisco?
Nabisco.
Nabisco.
San Luis Nabisco. We're famous.
I think my friend Erica might listen to this show. She went there also. She'll get a kick out of that.
That's funny.
You know, but again, there are so many types of traditions that you don't really necessarily just have to think straightforward. But, you know, bottom line, and to your point, Ben, too, even if it doesn't happen within your doors or your house, it might happen in your city, where it might be the wacky neighbor that puts up this every year. Mm-hmm. Like Mark, with the one little kid that looks forward to his house every year,
right.
Trudges miles up the hill, and then finally lands and sees the Harvey Halloween. But, you know, it's a lot. And it tells you how to create them as well. Find a purpose. Make it personal. Incorporate traditions from your childhood, but focus on creating your own traditions. I think we're all pretty good at that kind of stuff. Now, here's an interesting angle. Have you ever eliminated a tradition? Because you were like,
Oh, for sure. But they fizzle out. I don't think it's like intentional.
Like my college game day fizzled out now that the kids have Saturday sports and all that kind
of
stuff.
A lot of them are between my wife and I. Remember last week we were talking about like holding hands when we drove around. Aww. And that used to be our thing. But, you know.
Wait, didn't we talk about this?
Don't do that anymore?
You guys used to go to dates at Target?
Yeah, but not anymore. No more Target dates, you know. That used to be,
revive that, bro.
I think we shifted from, you know, focusing our lives to our kids' traditions. So then we had kid traditions instead of ours, which is a shame, you know.
Yeah.
It's our spousal duty as well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you got to keep the magic alive, right? Yeah,
exactly. And there's such a burden sometimes, right? It's like, ugh. But you got to do it.
But you got to do
hands.
It.
No.
No, I'm talking about like.
No, it requires energy.
Yeah, like certain ones aren't really fun, but they still, you got to do it.
Well, I don't know. We missed going to the pumpkin patch this year. We always go to Happen Bay to the pumpkin patch.
We did.
And so, you know, and that's one of the things that we've all been kind of like bumming out about this year that we didn't make it to the coast. So it's like, so some things, you know, because of how busy, like you were saying, your college game day fizzled out, but it's like everything can be revived. Just it's a matter of will and interest.
And you'll have kids anyway. And maybe you can do it with your grandkids or whatever.
Totally. Oh man, that'd be killer.
What is there any pumpkin patches anywhere where you actually can like pull them off the vine?
I haven't
not
seen
anymore
one.
Man, not anymore.
My own backyard.
Back in the 80s,
my backyard.
Grow your own damn pumpkin.
I had a few.
Grow your own.
Had a few this year.
I haven't seen one MK. Not around. Yeah, not around these parts.
Maybe Ardenwood might have been the last place over in Fremont. But anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is another chunk of the article. Yes, and it agreed with you, Ben. Families have seasons, traditions that worked when your kids were toddlers might not have much resonance when they're teenagers, but you can always start some fun with your teens too. The three types of traditions every family should have. Daily connection traditions. Daily connection traditions are small things you do every day to reinforce family identity and values. A lot arise spontaneously. Family dinner, bedtime routines. But it does require some intentionality to develop positive daily traditions and rituals. Whether it can be actually watching TV together in the same room. That can be something as simple as that. Weekly connection traditions, similar to the daily, but done weekly. Well, that's kind of common sense. And then life changes traditions. Traditions to celebrate big life changes or milestones in your families. And we still have some of those to look forward to as our kids, well, are graduating or graduating from high school. Or my child's in a play this a show this week. So we always do something special with her. You know, as they get older, you can always reinvent too. So that's all I have from that camp. But I mean, they have traditions. I think parents that listen to our show are kind of cutting their own teeth. They have their own worlds. But I think the second article is more like, hey, if you can't have any ideas, here's a couple. First, cake cut wish. New privilege, new responsibility cards. When your kid gets a new responsibility, celebrating that. 18th birthday time capsules. Nose grease.
Skip.
Yeah, let's pass on that one. Oh wait, let's go the whole United States. Miscellaneous traditions. Hunting traditions. Meteor watching parties. Welcome to fall dinner. Ooh, that's not a bad one.
That's fun.
Baseball opening day. I know a lot of families that do that. Barbershop visit with your dad.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Big one. But I'm cheap, and he didn't want to go to my place anymore.
Well, yeah, it's not his choice.
That's true. Annual camping trip, and then it gets... Oh, Egg Wars.
Oh, see?
No, yes. It's not in there.
You invented it, I thought.
I swear to goodness.
That stops at the Mississippi, bro. I don't know.
The fun of dying Easter eggs doesn't have to end when you pour out the food coloring. On Easter Day, commence the Egg Wars. Two people hold an egg. On the count of three, they hit the end of their eggs together. Whoever egg cracks loses. The winner goes on to another battle. Boom. Wow. My family had it early.
But it says nothing about having to eat the eggs.
Yeah,
the whole point, right? You have to be punished for losing.
Eat a dozen eggs. It's like that movie, The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. Remember?
Of course.
Anyway, next one.
Anyway, there are tons, and there's even some for us. Like, well, when I first got out of college, we all used to go. Well, actually, when I was in college, we used to come home every Thanksgiving break, and then all my guys, we'd play a turkey bowl in annual football, tag, touch, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I think there's a lot. Anyway, there's a ton of stuff. I don't want to keep rambling. We all get it. Traditions are awesome.
Question.
Coming up next.
You did touch football?
No. Well, Ben, fun fact, I broke my neck playing tackle football. Okay. So I chose to play touch when I was an older adult.
Got it.
No judgment.
All right.
A little bit.
Well, when you're in a neck brace, when you're a junior in high school, it's not really that fun. Coming up next, we're going to change gears and go to a little Thanksgiving quiz because Ben ended that one on such a high note.
You can depend on me.
It's quiz time! Palette quiz! Quiz, 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 quiz.
All right. It's the time. If you're driving or flying and you're just dying to take a Thanksgiving quiz with your family, now is your moment.
Is that?
Okay, this is from the Britannica. Anybody ever have the encyclopedias?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We had the World Book. All of them. And the Britannica.
We had World Book. I don't think we had Britannica.
Was like leather bound.
I had
Britannica.
Yeah.
The rival.
The whole big giant.
Yeah, we had the whole volume. My dad got suckered twice.
There will be a time in history when that's all that's left.
Chris had everything. He had like the vacuum. He had the set of knives. He had the encyclopedias.
The protractor.
Ginsu.
Ooh, Ginsu used to cut cans in here.
Right.
All right. Here's a Thanksgiving quiz from Britannica. Here we go. 11 questions. 30 seconds a question. Which of these foods was most likely served at the first Thanksgiving in 1621? Cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie, candied yams, or cornbread?
I'm going to go yams.
Yep. Ooh, yeah. It was a cold.
Likely served at the first Thanksgiving.
Yams. Yeah, because it's a potato type of. Yeah.
Correct answer is cornbread.
Oh, maize, y'all. Come on.
Colonists did not have access to wheat flour, so there were no crusts for traditional pies. Cranberries wouldn't be served as sauce for another 50 years.
But yams?
And the first known recipe for candied yams appeared in 1889.
We should have
known. Wow.
Of course, corn.
All right.
Do not doubt the encyclopedia.
All right.
I don't.
All
right.
Which U.S. president began the annual tradition of pardoning a turkey?
Let's see.
Was it Roosevelt, Lincoln, George H.W. Bush, or Franklin Roosevelt?
Roosevelt.
First Roosevelt. It's got to be.
Yeah.
FDR?
The correct answer is George H.W. Bush.
Come on.
What?
That's funny.
Abraham Lincoln is said to have issued a reprieve to a turkey befriended by his son Tad, but in 1989, George Bush was the first to formally pardon the usual Thanksgiving guest of honor.
That's how funny. Did Lincoln's son befriend a turkey?
Britannica's being very like stickler with the definition because, like, again, this is a sort of
well, this is where you go to fact check, right?
I guess so. Right. All right. I trust them.
Truth.
All right. Who's the Center for Disease Control, otherwise known as the CDC, and Prevention advises against cooking stuffing inside a turkey. True or false?
False.
True.
Totally false.
No. The CDC does.
I don't care. I
you
refuse.
Don't believe it, but the CDC does.
False. It is true. Cooking stuffing in a casserole dish, bacteria from the raw poultry can seep into the stuffing, which may not get cooked as thoroughly as the bird.
And a purple dragon could come and blow fire on us right now.
Wow.
Ben.
Okay, I'm scared now.
Bitter Ben with another loss.
I love
in the face of science.
I love the stuffing in the cavity.
Just pour the the juice on.
I'm not stopping.
All right. Well, you're still alive, so.
Spurred on by economic reasons, Franklin Roosevelt made what change to Thanksgiving? He, A, advocated for chicken instead of turkey. B, made it a two-day holiday. C, canceled it. Or D, made it earlier in the year.
Turkey.
Must be the... Would the, chicken be cheaper?
I'm going to say the...
I'm going to say made it earlier in the year.
Why? I'm going to say chicken.
Because of the Christmas? Maybe it was too close. To, no.
A, chicken.
Mark... You are correct.
Right. What did you say?
Made it earlier in the year.
Thanksgiving traditionally had been celebrated on the last Thursday of November in 1939. That happened to be the last day of the month, curtailing the Christmas shopping season during the end of the tail end of the Great Depression. FDR moved Thanksgiving to be a week earlier. Okay. Detractors called this Franksgiving.
Okay.
All right. Which of the following was definitely not served the first Thanksgiving in 1621? Venison, corn, mashed potatoes, or turkey?
Turkey.
Turkey.
Yeah.
All three of you say turkey. Well, so you think there were no turkeys present?
Hold on. I'm going to say mashed potatoes. I'm going to change it to mashed potatoes.
Oh, Ben with a quick wit. Yeah. Yes, it was mashed potatoes. Potatoes originated in South America, and sweet potatoes came from the Caribbean. Neither had made their way to North America by 1621.
We should have learned our lesson with
mashed
the yams.
Potatoes were not served. Which professional football team has played on nearly every Thanksgiving day since 1934?
Them Redskins. Boys.
Oh, really? The Cowboys? Redskins, right? Oh, Cowboys then.
I refuse to say that team's name. Okay, so I'm going to give you the other three. Detroit Lions, Jacksonville Jaguars, or New England Patriots?
Well, the Lions always play as well, but so do Dem Boys.
Who's Dem Boys?
Correct the Cowboys. Answer Cowboys. Is the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, the Lions.
Oh, really?
They always play too.
George Richards came up with an idea for his team to play on the holiday to boost awareness and ticket sales, and it worked. Lions played to a sellout crowd and have continued the tradition every year since, except for a pause between 39 and 44.
Huh.
But wow. Since 1934. All right, besides the United States, which other country celebrates Thanksgiving? Is it Mexico, France, Canada, or Great Britain?
Canada.
Says Canada? It says Canada.
It's got to be.
The correct answer is Canada. The Canadian Thanksgiving dates back to 1578.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, when explorer Martin Frobisher held a celebration in Nunavut to give thanks for the safety of his fleet.
It's a wonderful
held in
story.
October also.
You made those words up, by the way.
I sure did.
They're there first.
Martin
what
Trevor.
Indigenous people participated in the first Thanksgiving of 1621? Was it the Seminole, the Navajo, the Wampanoag, or the Ute?
Shoot.
I'm going to say the third one. I like the Wampanoag.
It's the East Coast.
Because the other ones are all, like, known.
I'm solely going off college football names.
Seminole again?
Florida. I'm thinking Northeast.
Ute is Nebraska.
Rip them off again real quick.
Wampanoag.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let's just go with that. Wampanoag.
East Coast.
They lived on land which now constitutes parts of Rhode Island and Massachusetts.
Nice.
Number nine. Tryptophan in turkey causes severe drowsiness.
True.
Well, that's false.
Oh, really?
It can make a person sleepy, but this does not happen when combined with other amino acids, of which turkey has plenty. More likely, the culprit is simply
red wine.
Over-consuming rich foods, which redirects blood flow away from the brain to the stomach.
Funny. It's funner to blame it on the tryptophan.
Heck yeah.
It's that dang tryptophan.
But now that's you can fact check your relatives.
I don't know.
It's actually because you're a
glutton. You know, the Britannica says.
You know, question number nine. Whose appearance regularly marks the end of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
Snoopy.
All right, we can put Snoopy in there. Sorry. Snoopy, Frosty the Snowman, the Red Rose Reindeer, Rudolph, Santa Claus, or the Mayor of New York?
Santa, because it wasn't Giuliani.
We watch it every year.
You said Snoopy was out, no?
It's Santa.
It's got to be Santa.
Come on, man.
The annual Thanksgiving Spectacular began in 1924 as the Macy's Christmas Parade and didn't include its balloons until 1927. Fun facts everywhere tonight. Final question. In 1863, which U.S. president proclaimed the last Thursday in November to be a national day of Thanksgiving? Was it Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, George Washington, or Abraham Lincoln?
Roosevelt. Oh my, what the heck was that? I'm going to say Teddy.
The correct answer is
Teddy
Jefferson.
Shortly after a hard-fought victory at the Battle of Gettysburg, Lincoln declared the last Thursday in November to set aside as a day of Thanksgiving. Great job, gentlemen. You have survived the Britannica Thanksgiving quiz. Coming up next, things that make us smile. All right, since this will come out around Thanksgiving, should name some things that we're thankful for, make us smile. I don't think we'll squeeze another one in before the big day, but we'll see. I have discovered, if I can start, I have discovered taking whenever my mind wanders and switching it immediately to gratitude about something around me, something I'm looking forward to, something I'm thinking, or simply what I have in my hand. Whether I'm stuck in traffic or something that's making me a little bit, you know, fuzzy upstairs, I'm like, oh, I start to worry about something. I immediately, so it's a new trick that I've really been trying and testing out, and it works, and that makes me smile every time. My kids were all pretty fun and sweet on Halloween, even though they're all into different things. We still, like I said earlier, we get more into it every year, which makes me smile. My wife and I had a great time as well. I've also, we're heading to Tennessee. Ooh. So when this is released, I may be in the air on the way to Tennessee.
Volunteer state.
We hadn't done that in a while. We've always had Thanksgiving out west. So we're going to have a good old-fashioned Tennessee Thanksgiving. And we get to celebrate my newest family member who's turning one on Black Friday. Maybe I'll just take him to Walmart and show him how it's done.
Some rice cape soup.
So those things make me happy, and it's been a fabulous year for the show. And we got a website now and all that. Those bells and whistles are clicking along. So anyway, let's go around the Thanksgiving table.
You're going to put me first because, yeah, I'm never ready. So, but.
Oh, man.
No, I'm ready. How about this one? My 13-year-old daughter just passed my wife up in height. That was a big funny moment where they're like back to back. She's like, wait, I got you. You know what I mean? And so that was like, it's cute, sad, funny, happy, all at once moment. And most of our listeners haven't seen me or my family, but we're abnormally long people. So like my daughter's 13 and 5'10", and she just like, you know, got passed up. Anyway, it was funny. It's a moment, right?
You're 7'9", right?
7'8". Yeah. and then how about my mom just passing out candy at our house? She came over, and she did it. She passed out candy for 4 hours to 4,000 kids and interacted with every one of them. It's a very diverse area we live in, so it's like she was just so magic, and I was just laughing because she was like, she literally had a mini conversation with like 4,000 kids, which was really cool. I was just sitting there drinking my beers, watching my mama and pass out candy. It was
a country song.
I know, right?
yeah. Little Zach Bryan right there.
Randy Newman.
yeah.
Sure.
did your mom ever drop it in? Like,
what?
Do you have a trick?
Oh. She did. Yeah, she asked that. You got a trick? And a few kids were witty enough to have one ready.
All right, fair enough. Chris?
This past weekend was the Bruin family weekend. So we went down to UCLA to visit the daughter and all of the freshman families. So that was dope. And then we ended up checking the employee Disney blackout calendar, and sure enough that day was open, so we just rolled out to Disneyland and kind of blew the family weekend off and just spent the rest of the night at Disneyland. But it was a reunion. My youngest daughter hadn't seen the oldest in a few months, so it was like the first time back together as a family together, and that was awesome. Like we were saying before the show, like I mean, like you were just saying, like the thing that makes me smile is just, you know, feeling grateful for having the lives that we have and being able to record the podcast and sit here in the beautiful weather while so much craziness is happening all around us. So I just, you know, feel blessed that somehow we lucked out and were able to do this and spread a little parenting love. Mm-hmm. So that definitely brings a smile to my face.
Yeah, don't need to feel guilty, but we need to be grateful for sure.
Don't. Yeah, my celebrated my 19-year wedding anniversary with my wife.
Congrats.
That was a lot of fun. We went out to dinner, and it's always nice to be out with my wife. Halloween was great. We had a lot of fun. I got to wear a mask and creep up on people and scare people, which is always fun. It's always nice to walk up and down a street. And, you know, I've done haunted houses for a long time, so not getting to do a haunted house is a challenge every year. But getting to actually just walk up and down the streets and freak people out is, even if it's for just a couple of hours, is enjoyable for me. October's a good month because I always sell a lot of records, so I appreciate all the people who buy my Halloween records during the month of October. That's a lot of fun. And soccer season's ending for the little one, and basketball season's starting, so just enjoying the sports and the kids and enjoying my kids' interests in creating their Halloween costumes. I didn't buy a single store-bought costume this year. Nice. They all put theirs together, and it's just fun to see their creativity and their vision and when it comes to life. And it's just that's makes me happy. It makes me know that they're creatives, and that's it's going to be smart, but being creative is important too.
Yeah. So. We bought ours. I don't care.
Hey, different strokes for different folks.
Well, Kira didn't buy her. Keeks was Pete Davidson. She didn't buy hers. All right. Well, that is the show. Once again, we have a website now. Please go. We will recap show notes, transcribe all the things Real Big League Podcast do. We are now taking on.
Right.
After a while, it is www.dadtimeoutshow.com. We are the Dad Timeout Show, and we are out of here.
Peace.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Timeout Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour. My turn!
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Timeout Show. And we're out of here.